Hi, this is Mike Bates. I'm the CEO at Hero, and this is your assistive technology update.
Hello, and welcome to your assistive technology update, a weekly dose of information that keeps you up to date on the latest developments in the field of technology designed to assist individuals with disabilities and special needs. I'm your host, Josh Anderson, with the Indata Project at Easter Seals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to episode 702 of Assistive Technology Update. It is scheduled to be released on November 8th, 2024. On today's show, we're super excited to welcome Mike Bates, CEO of Hero. So let's go ahead and hear all about it. Independence, a word so important that Thomas Jefferson wrote a long declaration on the subject some 250 years ago. But when it comes to individuals with disabilities, many family members sometimes choose a greater sense of security and safety over independence. Well, our guest today is Mike Bates, and he's here to tell us about Hero and how it can help with safety and independence through the remote monitoring and some other great solutions. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm more than happy to be here.
Yeah, and I am more than happy to have you and excited to get into talking about Hero and the technology. But before we do that, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I have a pretty deep history in the technology space. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't know that that's super relevant for this podcast, but that is where I spent about the last 20 or so years. And now we find ourselves as a team at Hero, bringing our skill set to the IDD space and the aging space and loving every moment of it.
Awesome. And I'm sure some of that experience and passion will come out kind of as we talk about everything here. So I guess just on to Hero, just start us off by telling us about the company as a whole, maybe when it was started and why.
Started back just slightly pre-pandemic. So I guess, yeah, 2018 is when the idea of the journey we were about to set out on started. And, you know, it hasn't changed a ton, but the gravity of it and kind of the impact of it certainly has come into focus a ton. We didn't really know what we were about to get into, but the whole idea that we had at the beginning, based on what we knew from colleagues of ours that worked in the care providing space, specifically in the IDD space, just kind of riffing, talking about, you know, work as you do. And, you know, they were expressing how there's a void to fill technical needs in this space for what is now kind of known as remote supports or remote monitoring or, you know, assistive technology. It goes by so many different terms.
It does.
So we were just kind of riffing on this idea. And you know, from our perspective, it seemed that there was just simply a good technology solution missing for care providers to use and family members. So it wasn't that this technology didn't exist, because you can go to any store, like a Best Buy or even a Lowe's or a Home Depot and purchase some of this technology, bring it home and have some of, you know, these features and stuff you're looking for in this type of system up and running, you know, within an hour. Mm-hmm. But that is not the case if you are a company doing this, you know, for individuals that you need to do, you know, dozens or hundreds or even thousands. And so the solution is that these provider agencies were effectively just kind of outsourcing this work to technology companies. Mm-hmm. And then those technology companies were the ones that were providing like the support and the monitoring. It made no sense to us. And so we just started from there and wanted to build a system, you know, that could be used for kind of this bigger picture for providers being able to do a new line of service by just having, you know, tech utility, basically. So anyways, that's how we got started. That's what we started with, and that's what we're doing still.
Awesome, awesome. So kind of give them the support and the tools to be able to do that on their own, as opposed to having to outsource the entire thing.
Exactly right.
Awesome, awesome. When you have some different kind of supports and some different kinds of solutions available. So I guess let's start off with talking about the Hero RS, which I know what that stands for, but you can go ahead and get into it.
Yeah. So that's funny that you bring that up. Like, we're always changing, adapting rather, to policy needs, you know, set forth by the state for waiver funding. And so one of the distinctions, you know, that the state, specifically in Missouri, I'm speaking to, there was kind of a distinction between remote supports and assistive technology. And, you know, for whatever reason, and, you know, it's not like we're there in those conversations, sure. But we adapt to it. And so what we ended up doing is we ended up having a system called Hero RS for remote supports, which is basically a title for our whole encompassing package of services. And so if you are a provider agency, who wants to provide these type of services, Hero RS would be, you know, the service that it would be called that we would have, you know, with you. So, you know, an agency in, you know, whatever state would partner with us for, you know, our Hero remote supports package or license, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what that includes is kind of everything. So, like, we can go into that, but that's the distinction of that specific name.
Excellent, excellent. I guess start us off by just telling us maybe what the technology looks like, because I know that that you're kind of given the support, and I love it that you're empowering people to help them empower people. Like, that's just a great kind of model and a great way. But what does the technology itself look like for the monitoring? I mean, back in the day, it was always cameras and things like that, but there's so many more tools available. So so what kind of tools are you able to implement and help the agencies be able to implement for those they serve?
So pretty much anything you would typically hear about in a security system, a smart home system, and an overall monitoring system would be in here. And you would think cameras would be kind of number one in that list of devices that would be utilized, mm-hmm. but is not, because that's a huge rights restriction in certain states. And Missouri is definitely one of those states where video cameras are not allowed. You have to go through some serious, you know, due process to get that incorporated. And so I would say maybe like 5 to 10% of our, you know, homes that use Hero have video cameras that are anywhere besides the outside door, like facing outwards. So very few cameras. But then from there is where things get really fun, because we start to use a number of basic devices. Again, these things you would always hear about: door sensors, motion, temperature, heat, bed presence, fall detection, pendants, smartwatch, lights, like all of those things are all in our system. And the big kind of distinction between, you know, the Hero ecosystem and pretty much everything else out there, that we have a true ecosystem. So all of our devices, all of those things I just rattled off, and everything we continue to create has that dependency of knowing exactly kind of the input and the outputs of that. And so that allows, you know, these provider agencies that use our system to know, motion sensor, I know every time for one of these, because they have full control of setting up, you know, all of the automations and notifications. And so they know that if it's this sensor, it knows that it can detect motion or light or temperature, and that they can set that up to then send an alert to the monitoring staff, you know, their call center that they have set up, or maybe that's a very specific one that also needs to send a text message to the neighbor because it's urgent and somebody needs to be there, you know, as soon as possible. They have that flexibility to do all of that. And so that's kind of the big difference is like, we're not like carving new territory there, right? Sensors are sensors, but the big difference is in how it works, you know, and kind of this overall ecosystem that we've set up that doesn't require you to have extra accounts and different devices and different apps. It all works within, you know, the Hero system.
Oh, for sure.
And those are just the like kind of the peripheral devices. We've got much more to the system than just that. So we've got a tablet that is kind of the main piece for, you know, the individuals using the system. So the sensors, we always try and be as, you know, discreet as possible. And all of them are pretty out of the way. But then where the individual then will interact with things, if their plan calls for it, we'll have a tablet device that is locked down to just our software. And that has a bunch of things in it. And at some point soon here, it'll be customizable as well, because we've continued to add features to it. But, you know, not everybody needs all these features. And so we're working on making it customizable as well. But currently, you can do all of the following on it, which is it shows the current weather time. You get your reminders. So if they're med reminders, which we're starting to integrate with a number of med dispensing devices, or just kind of chore or habit forming, you know, reminders. Hygiene, eating, these kinds of things. And then those all have media support with them too. So you can have voice, video, and images come along with that. They can check in with how they're feeling on there. And if they're using one of our doorbell cameras, anytime somebody is at the door, that will automatically show up on their tablet. So they don't have to worry about, you know, opening up a different app or anything like that. Their call list is on there. So whoever's on their remote supports team, they can contact. Nice. And their remote supports team can obviously call in as well. So it's pretty full featured.
No, that's awesome. And I love that you're doing it without kind of having to be, you know, fully out there on the internet. I know that security is always kind of a big issue, and we'll get into that in a moment. But before we kind of do, because I'm going to forget to ask this, as we look at all the different monitoring and everything, what are just some of the kind of behaviors or maybe, you know, goals an individual could be working on or things that that can be monitored by all these different devices?
We are working on getting a number of formal input and testimonies on this. Mm-hmm. But one of the unique things about our system is that we're hardly ever directly involved with a lot of these outcomes because our system is used one layer lower than us, right? So everyone using this internally. So certainly have, you know, anecdotal information. So one of my favorite stories that one of our local users raves about was, this is kind of an unexpected thing. They were using the medication reminders or just the reminder system, and they were using it for keeping med passing going, making sure that niece was adhering to this. And we used lights heavily in our system. I know this sounds weird, but when it's time for a reminder to go off, the lights can turn any color, you know, they set them up as, and they're smart too. So it goes, the light kind of fades on when it's time. And then when it's either missed or adhered to, you know, tapped on the screen, or if you're using one of the med devices that we integrate with, once that med device is tapped or seen that it was flipped over or whatever, the lights in our system automatically go off as well. That's been successful in its own right. But what this family had done was actually use the media system to use their own voice. So the family spoke aloud, you know, the reminder. And so that individual, in this case, aging individual, memory issues, you know, really starting to settle in. And they swear by huge difference in just memory and connection by not only using kind of their own voice, but also incorporating trivia questions from like pop culture, you know, from the 60s or whatever. And so that there's a lot of really cool stories happening like that. And we're starting to reach out to gain a lot of those, because a lot of this is, a lot of this magic is happening, you know, internally within walls that are outside of ours. So we're reaching out to get those details.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome that they have all those options to be able to really set it up kind of one-on-one, something that maybe you used to have to really have an individual kind of in the home to probably observe and be able to really kind of provide that support. But I like that it's not a one size fits all model. And I mean, I know, like you said, you're kind of one level back, you know, you're providing it to the provider to be able to do that. So I just love that there is that, kind of like you said, especially when you're working with such a diverse population, you're giving them different ways, different rewards, different inputs, different outputs, all these different things, to be able to really reach their goals and do what they need to do. So that's awesome. Mike, we kind of just barely kind of touched on the kind of security part. So dig in a little bit to that kind of, you know, as far as the monitoring and everything, who has access, and I guess kind of how's that access set up?
Yeah. Awesome question. So yeah, as far as like the deeply technical end of it, you know, all the standards, all that good stuff. So from a technical aspect, all the security stuff, all there. Mm-hmm. But from the like practical, like how does this actually work? This is still something that we put the responsibility of on the provider agency. Mm-hmm. So our direct, you know, client, and what they have the ability to do is go in and create any location that they want to have. Mm-hmm. They're able to create individuals, and then they can create users. And those users are typically going to be employees, but they can also add maybe whatever is going on in their region. They may need to add like a service coordinator in there. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's a family member that's really involved, you know, with you know, this individual's plan and needs access to see the sensor data. There's different roles that can be assigned to different users that get added. So the company gets to really control that level of access to there. And so there's a number of security controls that can be flipped on in there.
Nice.
And so that ranges from just having access to getting reports or to seeing live logs. And then we've got a lot of innovative stuff in there, even like with cameras, which we do have. I mean, I mentioned earlier that, you know, Missouri is like a, you know, it's a no camera state. There is exceptions to it. And we have our video doorbell. There's a pretty established pattern of that being acceptable for use, especially with some of the features that we've innovated on. So like when you need to see a live feed, for example, first of all, it's not stored. So it's kind of this passive live feed. And when you view it, you have to supply a reason. And then when you're done viewing it, all of it gets logged. So the person viewing it, the reason they supplied, and the length of time that they viewed it is all stored in perpetuity. So there's accountability there. And yeah, there's a lot of ways we account for that stuff.
No, that's great. And I love that you're not just putting the responsibility kind of back on the provider, but you're given a little bit more privacy to the actual individual themselves. You know, I mean, it's there as a great safety mechanism. You know, if I need to look at the camera and stuff, but you got to have a good reason, you got to explain it, and it's logged that you ever did it. So you don't, I mean, just you know, as a person, as a parent, you know, if one of my children or one of my parents ever needed kind of remote supports, knowing that no one's just going to peep in and see what they might be doing because, yeah, they're bored, I don't have anything else to do, you know, but actually exactly. knowing they have to have a good reason and I can go back and see what that reason was, or you know, there's a accountability there. That's a really great great feature.
Oh yeah, we're pretty serious and like in some ways we take, you know, even our responsibility of that pretty seriously too. Like we believe we are building, you know, a system that is just going to continue to kind of set precedence for you know how this stuff should work, because you know this technology is not necessarily new, but the way that it really needs to be built and utilized within industries mm-hmm. that need to move slower and be sturdier than what consumer technology provides, that is new mm-hmm. and the you know discipline and patterns that need to follow it, that's new stuff.
Definitely, definitely. So what does training look like? So I'm a direct service provider agency, you know, and I really want to implement this into our ecosystem. I got a shortage of DSPs. I got a hard time serving all our folks. I think this is a great way for independence. So kind of what does the training kind of for my staff look like on that end? Because I know sometimes that's the biggest fear for places is my folks aren't tech savvy. Oh my gosh, we're going to screw this up. Something bad's going to happen to somebody. And you know, so what does, I guess, the training and support kind of mechanism look like?
Yeah. So companies that we've worked with, because we're still, we're not new, but we've taken our time to grow. Mm-hmm. And we're just now kind of busting outside the walls of Missouri and maybe even more to announce on that shortly after this podcast is released. But up until now, I would like, our partners, it's been easy because we work directly with them to train them, but we're within the same state, right? So like that's been a pretty easy thing. And I think they would all speak quite highly of, you know, what that has been like, because it's been, you know, rather white, glovey, custom devices, you know, the wish list getting adhered to and, you know, all of that stuff. As you are an organization, you know, just now starting to tap into this and, you know, what does that look like? We will have a better answer for that shortly, because we intend to address that in a way of doing at scale. Mm-hmm. So I can offer a much better answer. But until then, I know that a lot of organizations have tapped into existing resources like Tech First Shift is probably, I think, like the go-to resource for learning a lot of this stuff. But otherwise, like, yes, every company we've worked with has just been, hey, let's sit down for, you know, a week and, you know, we'll come out your way and let's go through this and just kind of train you on really just the software end of it, right? So mm-hmm. it's really about learning how this system works. So it's like learning any other, you know, software in that regard. And that's the benefit of, you know, a company like ours is we're actually handling all of the technical infrastructure of it. So it's not, that's the hard part, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's the thing that the, like, no company in their right mind, there's a few out there, you know, that have tried to do this. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a couple of different, you know, approaches to it and different, you know, technologies to use, but specifically building a multi-device, you know, multi-tenancy system that's built to work, you know, from up enterprise level down, that is hard stuff. I wouldn't recommend many people attempt it. And so that's what we've built, right? And we just want to kind of be that utility that you know, these providers can use and hopefully remove a lot of the fear of what it means to provide these kinds of services.
Awesome.
Because that's what you need. You just need a platform that you can implement so you can now innovate. And that's the biggie, is like, you don't want a system that just achieves your goals right now. You want a system that can continue to grow, and you know, you can continue to have input in, and you know, is the system designed for that type of services?
Nice. Excellent. Excellent. Mike, if our listeners want to find out more about Hero, about all the great things that it can kind of do, what's a good way for them to do that?
The website, hero.net, and it's HEARO.net. That one will catch you. And then, of course, probably just LinkedIn. You know, that link's down on the bottom of the site. We're not super active on the socials, but certainly any announcements are posted on LinkedIn, and the website will get a huge facelift here, hopefully by the end of the year as well.
Awesome. We'll put those links down in the show notes so that folks can easily find it. Well, Mike Bates, thank you so much for coming on today, for telling us about Hero, about all the great things that it can do, and really just the whole idea of being able to empower people to empower people, I guess is about the best way of kind of putting it, of really and truly helping folks that kind of want us to provide these supports with helping them build those systems and be able to do it kind of independently without having to have a whole nother level of folks in there. So really giving independence, not just to the individuals, but to the folks who support the individuals too. That's a very, very great model. And thanks for telling us all about it.
Josh, thank you for having me, man. It was a blast.
Do you have a question about assistive technology? Do you have a suggestion for someone we should interview on an assistive technology update? If so, call our listener line at 317-721-7124. Send us an email at tech@easterseals.org or shoot us a note on Twitter @indataproject. Our captions and transcripts for the show are sponsored by the Indiana Telephone Relay Access Corporation, or INTRAC. You can find out more about InTrack at RelayIndiana.com. A special thanks to Nicole Prieto for scheduling our amazing guests and making a mess of my schedule. Today's show was produced, edited, hosted, and fraught over by yours truly. The opinions expressed by our guests are their own and may or may not reflect those of the Indata Project, Easterseals Crossroads, our supporting partners, or this host. This was your Assistive Technology Update. I'm Josh Anderson with the Indata Project at Easterseals Crossroads in beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana. We look forward to seeing you next time. Bye-bye.